Oh, it ought to be real to us, shouldn't it? Amen. What a Savior. In the third psalm tonight, I'd like you to read along with me as we stand to our feet. Psalm 3. It's talking about when David was fleeing Absalom's son. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He pens these words, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. I want to preach tonight on trusting the Lord in times of trouble. Trusting the Lord in times of trouble. And we have a beautiful illustration of it right here in these precious words. Father, we love you. And we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for how our hearts have already been stirred tonight. Now we come to the time of the preaching, and I pray that we would understand the primacy of preaching and realize, Lord, the need of it to preach in the power of the Spirit, Lord, to receive thy word. I pray that our hearts are ready. I pray that our minds are fixed on thee. Lord, I pray that tonight we would hear from heaven. We'd go forward, following after you, doing thy blessed will with our lives. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. You know, the Bible teaches us, and go read the story in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13, 14, and 15, about a boy named Absalom. Absalom was David's son, and Absalom did some things wrong. And Amnon did some things wrong, and Absalom took Amnon's life. David was mad at Absalom, and Absalom fled from the kingdom. And finally, Joab convinced David in a roundabout way to bring Absalom back. And he brings Absalom back, but David has nothing to do with Absalom. And Absalom's over here, and he hasn't even seen the king's face. David doesn't want to see him, but he allows him to come back into the kingdom. When he gets back over here, then Joab goes before David again, and he convinces David to see Absalom, and David finally brings him in, and David kisses Absalom and forgives him. But Absalom's, he's trying to be deceptive. Because Absalom all along, as he's come back to Jerusalem, has decided he's going to do something himself and he's going to take over. And Absalom goes throughout those 10 tribes and he begins to talk with them and he begins to find favor with the people. And Absalom deceives David and Absalom has all these people. He's winsome, he's handsome, he's good looking, he speaks well, he talks well, and you know, everybody's convinced this is the man. And so all of a sudden, we see that Absalom's building up a group of people, and he's going to come after David. And in our psalm that we're reading here, Psalm 3, David has fled from Absalom. He's gone over the brook Kidron, and he's hiding from Absalom. The Bible says in those first couple of verses, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? In other words, these are all the people that Absalom has on his side. I mean, I'm telling you, multitudes of people have come up, and he says, many are they that rise up against me. Some of David's own have left his fold and are now following Absalom. And actually, Ahithophel, one of David's men that was a part of his cabinet, has left him. And a spiritual advisor has left him. And he's helping Absalom. And David has fled. And he looks and he says, Everybody's leaving me and they're all going with him, but he has a few still left with him. Troubles all around him. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Think about that. Stop and listen. He looks and he says, they're saying there's no help. I'm in trouble and people are saying there's no help. But he looks to the Lord because he knows that in the time of trouble, that the Lord's always there to help when you're one of his children. Now you can imagine there probably wouldn't be anything more difficult than to realize your own son's after you. Your own family member. Somebody that no doubt you love. And we find in this psalm that David is in trouble, and it says there are many that rise up against me and are increased in this time of trouble. We all experience different kinds of problems in our life. Sometimes there's family problems. Sometimes there's problems where people lie about you or certain things happen. Sometimes friends will turn their back on you. That's always difficult, isn't it? But I want you to understand that there is one that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is one that promised us he would be with us. And in the time of trouble, we need to learn to trust in the Lord. The reason we can trust in the Lord, I'm going to give you just a few thoughts tonight, and I hope you get a hold of this. First of all, it's because he shields us. The Lord's our shield. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. After he says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. He says, but thou, O Lord, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I want you to go back to David's life, and I want you to think about all that he's faced and all the battles he's been through, and he found that God took care of him all along the way. And he had to remind himself that God had shielded him and God had protected him and God had done some great things for him. And sometimes we get in trouble and we feel like there is absolutely no help. But all we have to do is just take a review of our life and realize all the times that God has been there for us. And how that God has been our shield. Can you imagine all the arrows and the spears that have been cast at David? You remember when David was just a young lad and he and Jonathan were out in the field? You remember Saul throwing the spears at him? You remember Saul going after him? God always took care of him, didn't he? He's our shield, and we need to understand that tonight. We need to realize that we are going to face the fiery darts of the world. You remember what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, when it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I think sometimes people think because we're saved, we're not going to have any troubles, but I've got news for you. We are. And the world's going to be after us, and friends may turn their back on us, and people may lie about us, and our own family may turn against us. And it's not easy. And there's going to be the wicked of this world that's going to fire at us, especially if we're living for the Lord. And we have to take that shield of faith. And when we take the shield of faith, in the Bible times, we find that they would have a shield, maybe some kind of piece of metal. Many times they would take a animal skin and with its fur and they would dip it in water. It would be put over top of that shield, and they would dip that in water. And in the battles that the enemy many times would throw fiery darts or fiery arrows, and when it would hit that water, it would put it out. And that's what the shield of faith can do. See, the shield of faith can put all those fiery darts of the wicked out. Because we know that our life is hid in Christ because of our faith in Him. And we need to take that shield of faith and we need to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. God's people have always been a target of the enemies. Go back and read God's people. Look in the Old Testament at the Jews and look in the New Testament at the believers and realize all down throughout history. Why is it that over 50 million people recorded have been murdered because of their stand on an issue because they stood against infant baptism? I want you to 50 million. Think about that. because they decided we're going to take a stand for what the Bible has to say, and the Bible never teaches us to baptize infants, and we're not going to start now, and you know, we're going to take our stand. You're baptized after you're saved, you're immersed, and 50 million have, that was just through the years. There's still people dying today in certain places. Think about all the people that, look, we have an enemy as God's people, and he's going to try to bring trouble at us, but we need to trust in the Lord in times of trouble because he shields us. You remember what he said to Abraham? He said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. We need to just learn to trust the Lord and allow him to be the shield for us. We need to live our life and ask God to help us, because the wicked are not going to go away until Jesus comes. The battles are still going to be fought, but I'm on the winning side because I have Jesus as my Savior. Not only does he shield us, I want you to see, secondly, he sustains us. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and I slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I like that. David's on the run. He's getting away from the enemies. But he says, I slept. You ever get to those points in your life where you just can't sleep because you're worried? David said, I want you to know what I did. Oh, Absalom was after me. He got more people on his side now than I have on my side. But I slept. You know why? Because God has sustained me. God is taking care of me. and you know, we all realize that there's times in our life where those worries come and those fears come and we just can't rest and all that. But truly, when we truly turn it over to the Lord, we're going to find that we'll be able to trust the Lord. And we'll realize that he can sustain us. That doesn't mean that things won't seemingly fall apart around us, but he's going to take care of us. You say, well, you know, I could lose my life. Well, the worst thing in the world is not losing your life. Because if your life is hid in Christ, then the life, when this life is over, heaven is your home. But I don't think we're in danger of losing our life tonight, right now, because of these enemies. I think that we just need to learn to trust God with all the things that are going on around us. Look, we're watching things happen before our very eyes. We're seeing the things that we truly believe in and things that we truly care about. We're watching it as they're crumbling. More and more states are just mocking the Bible and certain things and certain laws that they're passing. We see all that, but we have to take our stand. And as we take our stand, God will sustain us. See, we don't have to give in. We need to understand that God's going to take care of us, and the world's going to get more and more wicked because the Bible says that. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, we're either going to lie to ourselves or we're going to believe the Bible. Things are going to happen, things that we don't like, things that we believe are against the Bible. When it comes to morality and things like that, we understand that things are going to happen, and we're going to have people that are going to be against us. And it seems like their side's getting bigger and bigger, and our side's getting smaller and smaller, and we think, what are we going to do? It's not a political issue. I'm talking about the morals of the world. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about the sanctity of life, not just babies. I'm talking about life in general, everybody's life. And we look and we see all that's going on in the world, and sometimes we think that it looks like the wrong side's winning. I bet that's what David was thinking when he was running from Absalom, don't you? They're getting bigger. He's getting more. I mean, some of my own people going over to his side. He gets over here in this trouble, and he says, but I have to remember how God's always taking care of me. So I get in this place, and he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, think about it. And when he stopped and he thought about how when he cried unto the Lord and God had answered his prayer, he said, I laid me down and slept. And I wait. And I want to tell you something, dear friends. When he woke up, he is on fire. He says, for the Lord sustained me. In other words, God gave me the rest I needed and God took care of me. I laid down, I slept, I wait. And God's taking care of me. I'm reminded of how that God has told us to trust Him. You remember what Jeremiah 33:3 says? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You remember how the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter number 7 where it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. You remember how that the Lord said, believe and you shall receive. How he said, ask what you will. See, David had such peace that he could sleep, even though Absalom was hot on his trail. Sometimes I think we get in trouble and we just let it get the best of us and we just have to allow God to sustain us. But not only does he shield us and not only does he sustain us, I want you to see he strengthens us. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 6. David says, now he says, I laid me down, I slept, I wake for the Lord sustained me. And then look what he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. There is a strength that comes from God that we cannot describe, that people cannot understand, but when we really put our faith and our trust in God, God will give us a strength we need to face whatever fights we may have in this world. As long as we're living for the Lord and doing His will with our life, God will strengthen us. God will help us. God will take care of us. He said, I will not be afraid. I want you to think about those circumstances. I want you to see all that's going on. I want you to realize the army that had risen up against him and to see that truly he could have been so afraid here, but he says, I'm not going to be afraid. And sometimes we find ourselves so afraid when we need to just say, I'm not going to be afraid because I'm doing what God wants me to do with my life. I'm living for the Lord, and God promised he was going to take care of me. I'm going to rest when I need to rest. I'm going to fight when I need to fight. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to be afraid of what the world may say or what the world may do because God is going to take care of me. When we think about it, as long as we're doing what the Bible teaches us, what God says, God promised He'd take care of us. When we have faith in the Lord, we won't fear the world. But when we are not putting our faith in the Lord, then great fear is going to be upon us. Sometimes I watch the news and as I'm sitting there, I just get this trembling about me. I see things that are happening, I'm thinking, good night. And then I have to sit there and say, Lord, I'm trusting you with this. Lord, I'm not going to sit here and worry about this. That's what the devil wants me. The devil wants me to look at these things. Now, look, I'm going to pray about it, but I'm not going to sit and just run my days worrying about all these things. I'm a child of the King. I belong to God. I'm a part of God's family, and I believe that God's able to take care of me. It may not be exactly the way I think it ought to happen. It may not turn out exactly the way I think it ought to turn out. But as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do with my life, God's going to take care of me. And if I don't believe that, I'll quit preaching. I'll quit serving the Lord. I'll just get out of it and go off into the sunset. Because you don't need me as your preacher. And I don't need to be standing behind a pulpit. So we need to understand that God's going to strengthen us. God's going to help us. What lies ahead? If we look at it and we see all this going on, so we will. We could allow ourselves to get fearful because what does really lie ahead? Now look, I believe we ought to take our stand. I believe as citizens, we ought to stand up and fight for what we believe. And you know, you may believe one thing, I may believe another thing, but I thank God that we can stand up and fight for what we believe in. I like that. And I'm going to. And I'm going to do what I believe is right. You know? Everybody don't do the things the way I do it. And I don't do the things the way everybody else does it. But if I really believe in something, I'm going to stand up for it. But when it comes to certain things, the Bible's plain and clear. There's no varying on who's right and who's wrong. God's right. Always. And anything that goes against God's word is wrong. So we understand that. So we're going to fight for that, right? Well, seems like the other side's getting bigger sometimes when it comes to certain issues. So what do? We can't be afraid. We have to do what God wants us to do. And we have to stand up for what's right and let God strengthen us, and God can help us. But if we fear, if we let our lives be run by fear, then what we're saying is we have no faith. Because doesn't the Bible say in the book of 1 John that there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear? We understand that when we have the right relationship with the Lord, that God can take away that fear. When we're loving God the way we ought to love God and living for God the way we ought to live for God, then we don't have to worry about fear and what man can do to us. We can just trust the Lord. But then I want you to see finally tonight, not only does he shield us, and not only does he sustain us, and not only does he strengthen us, I want you to see that he saves us. He saves us. Now, we could talk about salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he saves us. After we're saved, he saves us. He takes care of us. We belong to him. You know, David belonged to the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. David made his mistakes, didn't he? I believe part of the reproach of David was because of what he did with Bathsheba. We know that. The Bible teaches us that. So he's facing certain things, but we see here that God still saved David. In other words, not salvation. He already belonged to the Lord, but God saved him as his child. God took care of him. Notice what the Bible says. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies. Upon the cheekbone thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. So we understand here that David sees God as God is overcoming his enemies. God will overcome our enemies, and God will take care of us. We cannot fold and falter under the pressure of all that the world may try to throw over on us, and we can't quit fighting for what it is that we believe is right. And we can't just say, you know, it's not worth the fight, because if it's in the Bible and it's what God's Word tells us to stand on, it's worth the fight. It doesn't matter how big the enemies of God get. We still must serve the true and the living God. Amen. And as we serve Him, He'll shield us. He'll sustain us. He'll strengthen us. And He will save us. And by the way, Him saving us, it may be that our life gets taken and He brings us on home to glory. I don't know. But I don't think there'd be anything greater than to die for the cause of the Lord. I don't want to be a martyr like the Muslims want to be a martyr. The Muslims are our enemy. We know that. They're the enemy of God. Don't you let the media kid you and think that they're our friends. They're not our friends. They hate us. They hate everything about our country. They hate everything about Christianity. And they would just soon kill us or die trying. We know that. Well, I don't want to go out and kill them and try to be a martyr for the Lord. The best thing we could do is try to get them saved. That's not going to be easy to do. They say a Muslim has to hear the gospel presented clearly 10 times before he'll even be close to receiving it. It's not just handing a gospel tract to a Muslim. That's not a clear presentation of the gospel. It's him sitting and listening to what you have to say. Well, you can't hardly get him to sit and listen one time. In England, there's a fellow over there, and I wish I could remember his name. He's a brother in Christ. And they have lots of Muslims. And he's found ways to open the door to witness to those folks. And he's won a few to the Lord. But he says one of the most difficult things he's ever done. Muslims are hard to win to the Lord, you know. And I think about how they're willing to do everything for Allah. They're willing to give their life. They're willing to blow themselves up. And sometimes we get so afraid of getting our feelings hurt. Are so afraid of what somebody might say about us. They're so afraid of getting in trouble because we stand up and preach on a certain issue that's not politically correct. And they're flying into buildings, into ships, strapping bombs around them because they think they're doing Allah a service. I'm not saying tonight that we need to go out and try to die for the Lord. We need to go out and live for the Lord. And then when God sees fit to bring us home, let Him bring us home. But God will be our salvation. He's our strength. He's our shield. He's our sustainer, and He will save us. He'll take care of us, and He'll keep us here just as long as He has use for us. And when He's done with us here, He'll take us home, and He'll bring us over there. David, a man after God's own heart, gives us some great secrets. Now, some people say that David here is a type of the Lord Jesus, and we're not going to get into all that tonight, but that he's a type of the Lord Jesus, and how God's people turned against the Lord, and all that, and certainly we can see certain things, and how it seemed like that there was more gathering against him than there were for him, and how that God the Father took care of him, and we see all this, and we understand that. But tonight, as a believer, I want you to understand that the same God that David is writing about is the same God that's part of our life, if you're saved. And that we can do God's will with our life. And there is going to be trouble. Look, there's been trouble for 5,000 years now. Go back. It started in the garden, and it'll continue on until Jesus has His kingdom set up here and all the wickedness is gone. There's going to be trouble. So what do? We just turn to the Lord in time of trouble and trust Him and let God help us. May the Lord help us tonight to find strength in this. All because of Calvary, we can have all these things. I was thinking about how He said, make Calvary real to me. Think about all that Jesus did for us. Then He promised us, I'll never leave you forsake you. He promised I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. He did everything for us. He left the portals of glory, came into this world, did everything right, nothing wrong, yet He laid Himself down on the cross. They nailed Him to the cross. They spat upon Him. They mocked Him. They made fun of Him. He died with His body literally in open shame and not even looking like a body. Then they took that precious body down and they placed it in a borrowed tomb, and he took our place in hell, and He rose again the third day, and he ascended back up into heaven, and He said, I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father, but then I'm going to come back after you. He did everything. Now He says, all I want you to do is just give yourself to living for Me, and I'll be your shield. I'll sustain you. I'll strengthen you, and I'll save you when those troubles come. I'll take care of you. What a Savior. Let's give our life to God's will. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. I ask You to help us tonight just to see what we have in Christ. And Lord, regardless of what goes on around us, Lord, in our own families, in our own homes, when troubles come, Lord, help us to learn to turn to You and trust You in the time of trouble. Lord, when it seems like the enemy is throwing their darts, Lord, help us to have that shield of faith. Lord, when we feel like we're about to fold under the pressure, Lord, help us to find that rest and allow You to sustain us. Lord, when we feel like we're so weak, help us to be reminded that You're the majority. If all the world turns against us, but You and I, Lord, still a majority. And then, Lord, we look forward to the day when You ultimately save us out of all the troubles of this world, when You come and get us. But until then, Lord, may we trust You to save us in the times of trouble that we're going to face while we are here and while You allow us to remain here on this earth. Lord, until You bring it all to an end, until You call us home, Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to turn to You. Help us to see what You've promised us in Your precious Word. And we'll thank and praise You in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to tarry long for this invitation tonight. You know what you need to do.